I'm Dani Shapiro, and this is The Way We Live Now. Today is day 72, since we've begun to wonder if we've stumbled into an alternate reality of a dystopian novel, and day 28 of this podcast. My guest today is the chef and co-owner of Saw's Soul Kitchen, which serves up some of Alabama's most beloved barbecue. But something happened at the start of the pandemic that took Chef Brandon Kane and the rest of his community by surprise. I'll let him tell us about it. Brandon, thanks so much for joining me on The Way We Live Now.
Yeah, definitely. Glad to be here.
So tell us where you are right now in as much detail as you can muster.
So I'm sitting in the parking lot of a country club in my car. I just got to playing in a charity golf tournament, and a little hot, a little sticky. The AC feels really good, and I'm sitting under some trees in my car, so it's a little shady.
Have people been playing golf all through this period of time, or is this something that just opened up?
No, I mean, down here, we've been playing golf the whole time. You know, we had social distancing as far as everybody drives in their own cart, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, we can't touch the flags, can't rake the bunkers. So they try to limit anything we could touch and then just, you know, try to keep our distance from each other, which, you know, my game's bad enough that I was hiding in the trees most of the day, so it didn't matter anyway.
Seems like golf is probably the great social distance sport.
Yeah, but today it was for me, that's for sure.
Sorry about that.
But it's just nice to be outside, you know, and I think a lot of the golf courses down here have been really busy because of that. You know, it's one of the few things that we could do outside of our homes or work. So it's been really nice to get out and play today.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you're a chef and co-owner of Saw's Soul Kitchen, a barbecue joint in Avondale, Alabama, which is part of a network of restaurants around Birmingham. Can you tell us what Saw stands for?
Yeah, Saw's actually stands for... Sorry Ass Wilson. So the founder of Saw's name is Mike Wilson, and it was an affectionate high school nickname, one of many, and he chose to use that as his brand, I guess.
Love that. So at the end of March, you noticed that your 18-foot rig named Black Betty had gone missing. Tell me about the moment that you realized that Black Betty was gone.
So we have a corporate office, which is an old house turned into a commercial space, about, I would say, maybe three blocks tops away from the restaurant. And Black Betty, we kept in the parking lot there, you know, and we just took her to, you know, food and wine festivals and different shows and try to promote the brand and do stuff like that. So, you know, every time we went to corporate office, which is pretty much every day, you know, she's always in the parking lot and had the little ball lock on it and chain and, you know, never thought anything about it. And then one morning after this has all happened, you know, we're at the restaurant and my office manager calls me and asks if I had the smoker in the trailer. I said, no, why? And she said, well, it's not here. So, you know, we have a total of four Saw's locations in the greater Birmingham area. So I called two of the other stores that had keys and thought, well, you know, maybe they're doing something with it. You know, it never once occurred to me that it would be stolen. So after making those phone calls and nobody had it, you know, definitely started to get noticed. I drove up to the corporate office and when I pulled into the parking lot, I noticed kind of next to the tree, the lock and chain was broken and kind of discarded right there. So the moment I saw that, I knew it definitely had been stolen. And, you know, obviously we called the police, called our insurance company and went from there and put a little bit of a social media post out, which, you know, for us locally kind of went viral and got a lot of attention. Hopefully we'll get her back. Mm. Although I don't plan on it, you know.
You know, I keep on having this image as you're describing it. You know, you're describing this, you know, the way that Black Betty was locked up was like a chain lock, like a bicycle. Right.
Yeah, kind of. So they make a little thing that, you know, it goes on the hitch. They make a little ball lock that goes into that and locks and then clamps down. So it's made for that, you know, to kind of keep it to where ideally, you know, you couldn't just hook it up to a truck easily. I think about something my father told me, you know, growing up, that locks just keep honest people honest. So, you know, if somebody dishonest wants to get something, they figure out a way if they want it bad enough.
Mm. So can you describe Black Betty? I mean, just for those who, you know, don't know what like a smoker and a barbecue rig might look like.
So it's a, you know, an 18 foot rig, you know, it's basically just a big trailer. It had two golden cast iron, grills on there, which if you're not familiar with that brand, pretty much think like a green egg.
Mm.
So we had two of those on there. Then we had two deep fryers, a four compartment sink, and then the big smoker. So it was a, you know, it was a pretty big rig, you know, really easy to hook up to the back of a truck or car and drive and take it places. And we did that quite a lot. Actually, we just got back from an event in end of February, a food and wine festival at Alice Beach in Florida. And you know, had a great time with it. And you know, was really looking forward to doing some more before, you know, the whole COVID thing hit. And then also before it got sold.
And your restaurants, you've been doing curbside and continue to be able to cook during the pandemic?
Yes. One of the common mistakes that was made when the story came out is everybody thought that we were unable to cook smoked meat because they thought that was the smoker that we used at the restaurant. You know, we have a commercial smoker and a custom pit built in the restaurant. So we've been okay during the pandemic. Business has been way, way down, obviously. And we're really fortunate. We have an old to-go window that used to be a drive-through window years past and, probably two or three restaurant concepts before us. So we knew when we were doing a renovation lately that we were going to turn that into a to-go window for the future. Hmm. And then when this happened, it just kind of made sense to go ahead and roll it out now, which has been received really, really well by the public. And you know, as we get going forward, even though we've been given the go-ahead to kind of open back up at half capacity, we're going to hold tight a little bit longer and just continue to go out the window for now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're just hoping that everybody's patient with us. And, you know, you hear about the second shutdowns and the second waves of stuff and looking at history. So we're just trying to be smart and safe. You know, at the end of the day, in these small restaurants, we're all like family, especially now that we've had to lay everybody off. I mean, it's been me and three other employees since this has all started. So we've been really close, tight knit. We've made jokes of trying to keep people out of our airspace and, you know, not deviate from where we go work and home every day.
Mm-hmm.
To just try to keep each other safe. But it's been an adventure, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. I was talking to a friend from Birmingham who I told I was going to be interviewing you, and he said, that's the best barbecue in Birmingham.
That's so awesome.
Is there a specialty? Is there like a most popular dish that people... And has that changed at all during the pandemic? Like, you know, have people gravitated toward anything different?
Not really. I mean, yes and no, I guess. You know, so we have a dish that's called the pork and greens, which has become a really famous dish for us, especially in our location in Avondale. A local farmer makes fresh ground grits for us. So it's McEwen and Son grits, which is really, really awesome. These guys do it everywhere. I mean, Gramercy Tavern held their product per se. Mama Fuka, I think, played with it a little bit. So there's a lot of big names that use these grits, but it's really awesome that they're from our town. So cheese grits, turnip greens, pulled pork with a little bit of fried onion rings on top. That has been probably the single most iconic dish we've had since I opened Soul Kitchen in 2012. And it's become one of the top 100 dishes to eat in the state of Alabama over the years. It's really kind of turned into something. When I created it, I literally thought it was going to be a dish that I did for one day and never think twice about it. And it turned into a cult classic. People love it. And I have people that have been eating with me for 8 years that have never eaten anything but that dish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really good dish. It's really filling. And, you know, the portion size is great. A lot of times people, you know, eat twice off of it. So
mm-hmm.
Right now, the value of that's probably looking really nice to people, you know, to keep it full.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed that a lot with restaurant takeout, that it seems like restaurants who are serving things that you can get a couple of meals out of or freeze a little bit and have it later. So how have people in the Avondale community responded to the theft of Black Betty, you know, and the fact that I mean, it must have been so disheartening that something like that happened at the beginning of the pandemic when everybody is like so down and hurting and frightened.
It definitely was. You know, the community's been amazing. You know, we've had numerous people call us and offer to give us smokers. You know, quite a few tips coming through that nothing's panned out on it yet. But everybody's been real supportive of us. And you know, just saying I'm sorry, you know, just saying mm-hmm. I'm sorry that happened to you. It still matters. You know, it still matters to know that people care. And during these crazy times that people really, you know, are empathetic and you know, put themselves in your shoes and understand that, you know, it's a bad thing to have something taken from you anytime, I think. But especially now, it was a little bit of a low blow for sure. It was hard to deal with. You know, I'm pretty positive and I'm an optimist, I like to think. And you know, that one kind of hurt, especially when we're supposed to all be in this together and you know, we're all fighting as hard as we can to try to make it through this, mm-hmm. especially in my industry. So that one got me a little choked up. You know, it definitely hurt my feelings. But, you know, we got through it, and we will. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a piece of machinery, and you know, nobody died from it, so it's not the end of the world.
I heard, too, that you had a break-in in the restaurant, like somebody
yeah.
broke in and stole some pork and some bread.
Yeah, about a week and a half ago, we had a guy push the window in, and, you know, he set the alarm off, police came, and we went down there, and he was still in the building, which is, you know, pretty scary to think about because you don't know what you're going to walk into.
Mm-hmm.
And once the police got him out and everything, and, you know, he literally was just throwing the pork butts out the window and loaves of bread, which, you know, I didn't talk to the gentleman at all, but it makes you think that, you know, maybe he was really down on his luck and he needed to eat. You know, mm-hmm. And part of you as a human being, I think that was the first thing that I thought. It was the first thing that kind of touched me. It was like, man, I can't imagine how he feels right now, that he's this desperate, that he needs to do something like this to eat, you know, and part of you wants to just be like, here, you know, let me feed you. But then on the other hand, you're like, man, I've worked so hard for so long to try to make something of myself. And now during all this, people are just coming at us and, you know, taking shots and breaking into our restaurants. And
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's hard. It's mixed emotions, very much so. You know, at normal times, I maybe would have been a little angrier about it. But now I, you know, I'm just sad. I'm sad that, you know, whatever's happened in that guy's life has led him to that. I'm sad that people feel the need to break in and steal stuff from, you know, not just me, but other restaurants in the city or other trailers have been stolen. So it's just, I'm a believer in the human spirit and mm-hmm. I think the human spirit will always persevere. Right now it's trying, you know, it's trying times right now. And you really got to just try to keep your head up and know that it's not going to be bad forever. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's the truth. And what you're describing, too, is you're talking about empathy. And I think that one of the things that this time is doing, I mean, it's doing a lot of things that are really hard, but it's also creating more of a sense of empathy and compassion for each other, even the people who are in the moment hurting us or doing something that we don't like.
I can see that. For me personally, seeing something like this happen that nobody has control over, this could easily be the reason that somebody's homeless, right? Like, you know, yeah, I think on a global scale, we all know what's going on with the world and the pandemic, and it makes it somewhat easier to kind of understand all these people are out of work and things are going bad, but hopefully there's a plan to come back. But, you know, how many people out there have something personally tragic happen to them that put them in the same spot that maybe they didn't have control over? I don't know if I would have thought that way before this.
Mm.
So I think you made a really good point that, you know, the empathy part, I've always tried to be empathetic in my life, for sure. And I think something like this, just, you never expect something like this to happen. And I think for something like this to happen to a lot of people that consider themselves, quote unquote, you know, prepared, we weren't. And you couldn't be, honestly. And, you know, if you have a bad situation go worse, you could be homeless. You could be in the situation. I could be those same people on the streets. It really kind of resonates. It really does.
Yeah, that's such an important point. Let me ask you one last thing. I mean, you've touched on this, but what's giving you hope when you think about us getting to the other side of this? We will get to the other side of this and be in a new day. What's giving you hope right now?
You know, honestly, I wake up every morning and I'm healthy. I have my beautiful family that loves me, that's there with me, and I have a lot of great people in my life that are pushing through. I think a lot of it is how I was raised, to not look at the bad, not to dwell on what's going wrong, but to really focus on what we can do right and to try to be a good leader. I think a lot of times, you know, being a leader, you have to do things that maybe you wouldn't do personally for yourself, but you have to because maybe somebody needs that extra little push. And I've been a leader in my industry, you know, in what I do in the industry anyway, for a long time. So it, you know, I think it's a combination of all those things. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think there's one single thing at all. And I think mostly is I can't imagine not getting through it. I can't imagine not getting to the other side. I can't imagine it not turning back into what it used to be. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of blind stubbornness there on my part that I refuse to really think that it will be the end of everything. You know, I just believe it's an opportunity and we got to, you know, dig in, and it's not going to be easy. And it hasn't been easy. God knows it hasn't been, but I think people are rewarded for hard work. And I think we can just, you know, really work hard and try to do our part. And if everybody does their part, you know, maybe it gets a little better every day.
Mm. That's a beautiful way to end this really lovely conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And I'm going to have to make my way to Birmingham and have one of those sandwiches one of these days.
Please do. It has been a pleasure to talk to you. And thank you for giving us a little bit of a voice down in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandon. Take care. Thanks for listening to The Way We Live Now. Tell us the way you're living now. We want to hear. Call us on, you might want to get a pen for this, 909-713-8995. That's 909-713-8995. And record your story, and we might just use it on the pod. Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/thewaywelivenowpod. We are creating a community here, and we would love for you to join us. You can find me on Instagram at Danny Ryder. The Way We Live Now is a production of iHeartRadio. It's produced by Lowell Brulanti. Beth Ann Macaluso is executive producer. Special thanks to Tristan McNeil and Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.